Again, I say good morning to all. I just want to pose a question to each and every one of us. Who is Jesus? I know mostly everybody would say, I know Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Again, I would like to say, do you know him? Unless we know who Jesus is, we could just say, I know Jesus is a man. But we could testify of him when we truly know Jesus is my Savior. Unless you can say Jesus is not, unless you can say Jesus is your Savior, you haven't known him. He must be your Savior. Then from the moment you realize he's your Savior, you will come to know that there are things that Jesus is able to do for you no one else can do. All right, without further ado, again, I say thank you for the elders that gave me the privilege to stand here this morning. Before I open the scripture, let's go in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the gospel, which is able to bring light for those who are in darkness, that they may see the glorious light of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that will transfer the life from the life of darkness into the light of life. Oh, we pray, dear Lord God, that each and every one that's here this morning, especially if there's one in our midst that have not known your Son as a Lord and personal Savior, they may do so before it's too late. Because we have no guarantee in life. As your word reminds us, what is man? What is life? Our life is just like a vapor and appeareth for a moment. Oh God, we pray that for times, many have sat on the sound of your word, but haven't come to realize they need a Savior in their life. We pray, God, that today will be a day that they receive your Son and they'll have joy in heaven over a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that comes to know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Lord and personal Savior. So, Father, we ask all these things in no other name. By the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of the Gospel of St. John, chapter 5. 12. We read verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jew, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In those lay a great multitude of important folks, of blind, hale, wretched, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the moving of the trouble of the water, stepped in with what he was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that. I'll read it again. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time. In that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And immediately The important man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And I want to underline that verse in verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. Okay, I'll stop there for a while. We pray that God will bless his words to our heart. Friend, we heard the story. It's true. Now, many of us, if we were there, we would try our best to step into the water after an angel troubled the water. Now, it isn't something that happened on a daily basis. It have a season. It have a season. And 3, 4, 5 couldn't step in. One. Salvation is available to all. Because there it tells us a number of folks, whatever disease, whatever sicknesses they have. In salvation, there is no discrimination. As long as you come to the Lord by faith, he will receive you. We read in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That man, he had a desire to get healed. He had a desire because he knew that his sickness, there is nothing he could have done to get himself healed. And he thought, I'm sure he have heard about Jesus, because before the miracle happened in chapter 5, a lot of miracles happened before. And he heard about Jesus. And there is the only way that he feel I could, if I could have time, step in the water, I'll make deal. And listen to that. 38 years, he been trying his best to find himself in that pool. 38 years. And friend, he stood there 38 years. And when we listen to news, sometimes young people don't reach not even 12, much less 38 years. And that man, he tried his utmost best to find himself in the pool. And if you haven't healed from your sin, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Do you feel that chance that man had, you'll have it? You can never know. That's why the word of God tells us, come now. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. The Lord wants to reason with you. No matter what situation, what condition you feel that you are in, the Lord wants to reason with you. Why he wants to reason with you? Because he knows your state, your situation that you are living in is not right. And he is the only one. Jesus is the only one that is able to set the priority right with you. As long as you come to him. He will not force you. You must come willingly, because that man which we speak of, which we speak about here, no one forced him. Because he realized all those folks that was around him, they couldn't have done nothing for him. Because they were in the same situation that he is in. Only Jesus that could have made a difference in his life. Only Jesus. If you, I'm sure many of us, we've been sick. And sometimes our friend will tell us, try this. Try that remedy, especially with the Caribbean, West Indies. Try that leaves. Boil that. Because you wanna. But the fact is that I saw many people tell the man, try this, rub your foot with that. But there wasn't a solution. The real solution, when he heard about Jesus, said for 38 years, he tried to step in. But one who was more capable than him, or more stronger than him, they'll find themselves in the pool. And Jesus knew his heart that he had a willingness in him to find himself in the pool, but he just couldn't make it. And Jesus said to him, will thou be made whole? What do you want me to do for you? And it goes to each and every one of us here. What do you want Jesus to do for you that you are not able to do it for yourself? And that's, we all making a mistake. May Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? He could have just said, Jesus, I want to make you make me whole. But he said, Lord, when I'm trying to get in, another one who is more capable, more stronger than me, get it, step in. Jesus didn't ask him because Jesus knew that. All what he had to do, just did. Say, Jesus, I want to get healed. You know, many of us, I could take that upon myself. When I heard the gospel, before I get saved, you know, we like to question as if we put doubt in our mind. As if what the word of God says, if we could add a little more, it would be better. Even in the marriage of Canaan, when everything finished, Jesus told them to fill the water pot up to the brim. I sure they did it, but it must be said. What are you going to do with just water? How are you going to change it? How are you going to make water turn to wine? When they're there doubting with him themselves, what Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, says, whatever he says to do, just do it. Stop arguing about yourself. Jesus says to do it, do it. And I'm sure right now, many of us could say, just accept, receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. That's too easy. That's too easy. If they could do something more, they would do it. Jesus Christ says, believe. By believing, you receive. By believing. By believing. Because even, like you see, like next month, it will be Easter. Everybody looking for that great day. Sunday, before Easter, they call it Palm Sunday. Everybody, I know back home in the Caribbean, West Indies, people with palm branch in their hand, everything. They see the Lord crucified. Then, I always say, I raised up in Catholic. My parents, all of them. Now, even now, I have a sister. They're still going to Catholic. I always talking to her concerning the word of God, concerning her life. They always tell me, you know, that's true, but everybody, you know, every religion have their tradition. I say, you know, when it comes to religion, in the sight of God, there is no religion. Either you accept Christ or you reject it. Say, well, you know, we have our tradition, you know, on Palm Sunday. Okay, they'll have a man carry a cross from a certain distance. Yeah. I tell her, well, when that man carried the cross, so after he walked back to the place, to the church, where they put in the cross? What they do with that cross? Tell me they put in the cross back in a little storeroom for next year. I say, no, they're doing wrong. Whoever carried the cross should have been crucified on the cross. Because if Jesus crucified, so you all want to mock him, you all want to crucify him on the cross. He should have been on the cross. So I say, if there is about 10 or 12 men in the assembly, when they crucified all 12, they'll call on the nuns. They won't do it. So when they realize no one, everybody refused to carry the cross, they'll get rid of it. Because I'm the one, 6, 7 months, like, hey, Benedict, you are the one, your turn. No. Because I don't want to be crucified. Jesus already crucified for me. So if you want to do it, well, you have to do it, because Jesus didn't go on the hill on Calvary he didn't crucify. They crucified him. So you carry your cross, you got to be crucified. But there, he tells us in verse 8. All right, go to verse 7. The omnipotent man answered him and said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus didn't ask him. Jesus knew that. All what he had to say, Jesus, I want to make whole. Then, in it, Jesus said unto him, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. There in verse 9, he tells us, salvation, from the moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it isn't something that the Lord will say, well, the Lord will give you an appointment. Okay, come to me next week. Come to me next month. What the word tells us, verse 9, immediately, right away, right now. Because Luke 19:10 make it very clear to us. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now from the moment you realize that you are lost, you do not know Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ is a seeking Savior, seeking for lost sinners. I could tell you. He found me. I wasn't looking for him. He found me. And did he found me? Through his word. Because Proverbs 14:12 make me realize that Jesus is seeking a lost sinner like me. For Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the way of death. My ways, I thought it was nice. But at the end, it's death. But praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the day I heard the gospel, and I didn't put a deaf ear, neither turn my back. I received Jesus Christ in my life. And now I can say I know who Jesus is. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And you can make Jesus your Savior today. You could make him your Savior. Because that's why God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17 reads, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 3:46, "He that have the Son have life. He that have not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." So the life, the physical life which we live in upon the face of this earth, we cannot boast. There is no boasting in that life. There is no joy in that life. Joy can be found when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. After death comes the judgment. Galatians 6:7 reminds us, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Don't live your life, please the world, and when you say something, when I die, God will put me. God already know where I'm going. You know where you're going. Either in Christ or out. Either in or out. So whichever way you choose, your destiny will follow what your choice. Because Jesus Christ ain't going to drag you in. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. If you refuse to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ right now as your Savior, he will come. He will become your judge. So you have a choice. Whether you want the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of your life, or you want him to be your judge. Because Isaiah 45:22 tells us, "Look unto me, all the end of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Look unto Jesus, the only Savior of the world. He alone that is able to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. He did it for me. And he have the same power. Matthew 24:35. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." God, Jesus, haven't said anything that he's not able to do. He's not, because he has power. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. So friend, as the word of God reminds us, as Jesus could say to the important man in verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So you see, there isn't anything that the Lord cannot do. You may say to yourself, I never find myself in a situation that can't walk. You can walk. But what about your soul salvation? What about your soul? The word of God reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." If, now just put yourself in that bracket. Do you in Christ? Well, if I'm not in Christ, there is something I got to do. I've got to give my life to the Lord. Because John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you do not know Christ Jesus as your Savior, you have no life, because life could only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the source of life. He comes to give life that you may have life abundantly. John 10:10 tells us, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you might have life, that you may have it more abundantly. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, which is, I have come that, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, I have come that you might have life, and you may have it more abundantly. Abundant life. There is abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you cannot receive that abundant life unless you come to him. He says, come now, let us reason. Come now. There is no discrimination. Whoever comes to him, he will receive you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus tells us in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. If you live your life without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and say, when I die, I'll be in heaven, you make a fool with yourself. There is no shortcut to heaven. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. If they had any other way, God would never send his son to suffer, bled and die, so that you and I, those who receive, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, could be in heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There isn't any other way. No other way. And we have no guarantee of life. Because there is a hymn we like to sing. And I love that hymn, especially the verse. It says, life at best is very brief. Like a falling of a leaf, like a binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, and the die will soon be cast, and the fatal end be past. Be in time. Be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Now is the time for you to set your priority right with the Lord. If death happened to caught you in the situation you were, there is no time for you. Your life will be end in hell. And it is not the Lord's desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towardsward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, do not wait for tomorrow. Because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Come now. Come now. Because Jesus Christ is waiting with his arms wide open to embrace you. We pray that those words, you will not let that opportunity slip away from you. Cry unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming home. And he's always willing to receive you, no matter who you are. Who you are, because Jesus died. Jesus Christ died to save sinners from their sin. He's willing to receive you if you only come to him. But if you do not come, he will not drag you. He will not force you. He wants you to do it on your own free will, that you cannot regret. As the hymn writes, as the psalmist reminds us, Psalms 102, Psalm 107 verse 2. It says, let the Redeemer of the Lord, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, whom the Lord have redeemed from the hands of the enemy. You know, our enemies are trying his utmost best to drag us, prevent us from going to the Lord. But the Lord, the word of God tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. I'll leave you with one. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Are you willing to accept him, or are you willing to say no to the Lord? You said yes, you will not regret it. You say no, you will regret it. Because there's a judgment day coming. As prepare to meet our God. Prepare to meet him. We pray that God will retain in our heart. And if there's anyone in our midst that have not known the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, just say, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Just like an impotent man say, Lord, I have no one. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I have no one to put me in. And Jesus is always willing, he's always waiting to call, to help you, to bring you in his kingdom. But he will not force you. Let's bow our head and pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for your word. We pray, dear Lord God, that your word will not return on the void. We pray, dear Lord God, that your word will continue be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Your word is there, Heavenly Father, to show us the condition that we are living in, that only Jesus who have the power on earth to forgive sin. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word will not return unto a void, but will accomplish what is right and acceptable in your holy presence. Father, we pray for each and every head bow. We pray, O God, that your word will continue to strike in our heart, especially those who have not known thee as the Savior. Give them no peace, no rest, until they come to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and call upon him. For your word declare, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Father, we thank you and we praise your name. Whatever that's going to take place this afternoon, Father, we put everything, all the meeting, everything before your holy presence. Do for us what we are not able to do. This I have given you thanks. In the worthy and precious name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
You've heard God's word. It's up to you to respond. Do you know the Savior? That was the question. In Acts 17, around verses 31 or 32, it says that after the message, there were three responses. There's always three responses. Some mocked, said, yeah, right. Others said, you know, what you said is interesting. I got to think about it and we'll talk about it.